From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are bringing the Capitol to you each week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln. And we've got another great show lined up, plenty to talk about, a lot that I saw this week that made me shake my head, including drag queen story hours at public libraries, attacks on pro-life pregnancy centers, and abortion-flavored ice cream. But to start the show today, we want to talk about some important pro-life news from our nation's capital in Washington, D.C., and the latest attempt to defund Planned Parenthood. Our United States Senate held a vote last week on an amendment filed by Kentucky Senator Rand Paul that would defund Planned Parenthood. One of the major promises of Republicans on the campaign trail has been about defunding Planned Parenthood, and Senator Paul really had to fight just to get this vote and have his amendment debated and voted on the U.S. Senate floor. And ultimately, and not surprisingly, they did not have the votes to pass it. It came up short. The final vote in favor of the amendment to defund Planned Parenthood being 45 and 48 opposed. Not one single Democrat voted for it. Again, the amendment to defund Planned Parenthood in the Senate fell short. They needed 60 votes and only came up with 45. But I'm glad that there's at least another record vote on this issue, because this is often a subject that we hear a lot about, a lot of talk, a lot of promises, and not a lot of action. So Senator Paul really forced this vote after initially it didn't look like there would even be a vote on his amendment. And this was to a Defense, Labor, Health, and Human Services appropriation bill, something that has been done in the House. And this was Senator Paul's amendment in the United States Senate. And the vote happened very last minute after it didn't look like they were even going to allow a vote on Senator Paul's amendment to take place. And thankfully, our senator from Nebraska, one of them, Senator Ben Sasse, not only voted for this, but was actually one of the original co-sponsors of this amendment to defund Planned Parenthood. Senator Fisher was not present when this vote took place, but she has also expressed support for defunding Planned Parenthood. And this is something that we did at the local level in Nebraska with Title 10 taxpayer money, ensuring that that federal money that the state gets does not go to abortion providers. So this is something that our governor has very much been in favor of doing, and I believe the majority of Nebraskans support. And so it was great to see Senator Sasse not just vote yes to defunding Planned Parenthood, but actually being one of the co-sponsors, putting his name out there on the original amendment to take this to the floor and to finally have a vote on this issue, which we've heard so much about going back to 2016 and the need for Senate Republicans to defund Planned Parenthood. But the reality is, with the 60-vote threshold, they just don't have the votes to get there. And it's important, and I want to add, that the amendment that was voted on to defund Planned Parenthood does not block healthcare providers that don't provide abortions from receiving funds. It also contains the same language putting restrictions on the federal tax dollars that was already passed through the House on the Labor, Health, and HHS and Education funding bill. So this is something that's been done in the House. They just can't get it through the Senate. But ultimately, only 45 Senate Republicans voted for this amendment. And Senator Paul said in a statement that one of the top priorities for a Republican Congress that professes pro-life values on the campaign trail should be to stop taxpayer funding for abortion providers. This is our chance to turn our words into action, stand up for the sanctity of life, and speak out for the most innocent among us that have no voice. That is spot on, and it's going to continue to take a lot of effort, a lot more Republicans in Congress, but I'm glad that there's at least another record vote on this issue, and very pleased to see that Senator Sasse not only voted for the amendment, but was also one of the original co-sponsors and has really been a consistent pro-life voice in the United States Senate, which I think accurately reflects the people of Nebraska and the strong pro-life beliefs that we see across our state. So thank you, Senator Sasse, for representing and standing up for Nebraskans' pro-life values. And now something that doesn't scream Nebraska values or family values is the nationwide push to have drag queen story hours with kids in libraries and coffee shops and bookstores across the country, including, yes, in Omaha, in Lincoln, and possibly a neighborhood near you. There is a large push right now to give drag queens personal FaceTime with kids, and it's becoming widespread. And if you've heard about Drag Queen Story Hour and thought that it was limited to libraries in New York City and San Francisco, might want to think again, because a review by the Family Policy Alliance has discovered that such events, Drag Queen Story Hour, have already happened or are planned in at least 40 states, and yes, that does include Nebraska. And this even comes with backing from the American Library Association. Most of these events are actually happening in public libraries. The events feature one or more drag queens in full garb, reading stories and engaging in hands-on craft projects with kids, all to push the message that their lifestyle is perfectly normal. So take, for example, in Boston, where, again, this apparently comes with the blessing of the American Library Association, where in Boston, a public library hosted the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, which is a group that mocks Catholics, who had multiple drag queens reading stories to very young children. But evangelicals also aren't left out either. Just earlier this month, the Brooklyn Public Library hosted a story hour with drag queen Reverend Yolanda, known for Reverend Yolanda's old-time gospel hour. And perhaps most alarming is that these events are going national, basically happening in every state, and that includes right here in Nebraska, where various drag queen story hours have already taken place and are planned to continue taking place. And this is described as a fabulous story time presented by Nebraska's favorite drag queens. And there's one coming up in Lincoln on September 16th, and you might want to think about this the next time you go out to buy a cup of coffee. Starbucks in Lincoln is hosting Drag Queen Story Hour from 3 to 4, so right when kids get out of school, maybe you pick them up and head on over to Starbucks for a coffee or afternoon treat, and well, there you go. You can have a Drag Queen Story Hour, and it's happening at their brand new location at 70th and O in Lincoln. So this is a new Starbucks, and they've decided that they want to host and collaborate with Drag Queen Story Hour. The event that Starbucks is hosting, they are partnering. It is a partnership that Drag Queen Story Hour has started with Starbucks, and they're bringing it to Lincoln on September 16th. And they've already had some of these in Omaha, and they have another one planned for November 11th at the Conjure Shop, which is a bookshop over on South 75th Street. And they are encouraging citizens to contact local libraries or schools or community centers so that drag queens can come read to your kids and their classmates. And this is something to be aware of, because it does appear, though, that with enough organized opposition and people paying attention, libraries and businesses will maybe wake up and not think that this is such a great idea. There was a major library in Phoenix that ended up canceling an event after facing opposition from parents and local residents, and libraries and other communities have had to decide not to host these events as well, because they heard from concerned parents in their communities that they didn't want to be taking their kids to the libraries to be read stories by drag queens. And so it's just something to be aware of. Make sure you're paying attention to what type of activities are happening in your own libraries or schools or community centers. And there's probably not very many people who thought that, gosh, I better, you know, check the event calendar for the local library or Starbucks before I bring my kids by. But apparently that's where we're at. And I'll say this too, this has nothing to do with being intolerant or hateful or bigoted. These story hours are being done, to spread the message of acceptance and accepting those who live that lifestyle. And, you know, absolutely every single person, regardless of who they are or what they believe, should be treated with dignity and respect. always. But there's a difference between treating someone with dignity and respect and not being hateful and inviting grown biological men in elaborate costumes and with makeup to read stories to children who are 3, 4, 5 years old. And a lot of parents don't want that. And it seems like something that libraries should be aware of. And so, again, this is something that it's a huge push right now. USA Today even just had an article about it last week, and there are events taking place in Nebraska now. And so we're only going to continue, I think, to hear more about this. And not that it's only happening in other places in the country like New York or California, but no, it's here in Nebraska. And, you know, this, again, is why it's so important for people to be involved in their local communities and engaged on the issues, even if they're issues that are uncomfortable or controversial. And that's what Nebraska Family Alliance is really about, serving as a watchdog and helping to articulate citizens' voices and concerns to public officials to make sure that our values, our family values, are represented. Because every time that a policy decision is being made, there is a viewpoint and a worldview that is being not only endorsed, but also forced on society. And so we have to ask ourselves, whose viewpoint do we want that to be? And I can assure you that if enough good people remain silent, it's not going to be one that we agree with. Our vision at Nebraska Family Alliance is to create a Nebraska where marriages and families thrive, life is cherished and protected, and religious liberty is affirmed and celebrated. And we couldn't do that without a strong, diverse network of good people all across the state of Nebraska investing with us in prayer and in policy and in people to advance family freedom and life. And we would love for you to join us. So make sure you visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. And it's not all bad news out there. There are still good people doing good work, even NFL players. Mostly we hear a lot of negative stories and a lot of criticism directed towards star athletes. But one NFL star recently actually stepped out to help pregnancy centers continuing saving babies from abortion. This comes from The Daily Wire, which reported recently on New Orleans Saints tight end Benjamin Watson, who has been an outspoken Christian and pro-life advocate, and now he is even investing in helping local pro-life pregnancy resource centers. The NFL player enabled the Severna Park Pregnancy Clinic to continue its mission of helping babies by replacing their broken ultrasound machine with a brand new state-of-the-art 3D and 4D ultrasound machine. This is at a pregnancy resource center in the Baltimore area, and again, Ben Watson, the NFL star who donated this new ultrasound machine, he actually went and visited the pregnancy clinic and talked with the staff on how to help empower fathers. He even spent time with a young boy talking about what it means to be a Christian man, and many visitors also shared with him the power and importance of that ultrasound machine and how the results and seeing the image of their baby helped change their life and their views and convicted them to continue their pregnancy to term. And it's just so encouraging to me to see a star athlete like Ben Watson, an NFL player, using their platform for good. Again, we always hear so much negativity and criticism directed towards them or towards conservatives or from conservatives towards them. And so it's a nice change of pace to see an NFL player, a star athlete like this, using his voice, you know, to talk about being a Christian leader and saving babies from abortion. He even criticized harshly Planned Parenthood in 2016, which is almost unheard of to have, you know, a public figure like that speak out against Planned Parenthood. But Ben Watson has even been on the record as saying, quote, "Abortion saddens me, period. But it seems to be something that is really pushed on minorities and provided to minorities, especially as something that they should do. We sit here and talk about advancing the black agenda, whatever that means. We talk about our interests and what's important to us, like having political power and advancement and those things. And then we are turning around and we are killing our children. And we are buying the lie that it's our personal decision to make." And so I'm a big fan of Ben Watson, and not because of his athletic skills and what he does on the football field or who he plays for, but because of his beliefs and is willing to articulate them and to stand for them in the public square, in the public spotlight, and not be afraid to speak out against the abortion industry and to stand for truth. It's a great, great example, and we need more people who are willing to do that. And it's so important because unlike Ben Watson, who is helping pro-life pregnancy centers, we have New York's governor who is now launching a new attack on crisis pregnancy centers in his state. So on the one hand, we've got an NFL player who's going out of his way to invest and provide financial gifts to pro-life pregnancy centers to help save babies from abortion. And in New York, their Democrat governor, Andrew Cuomo, is apparently striking back at the President Trump administration and their nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. And they have started a new campaign to combat false and misleading advertising by crisis pregnancy centers. And he has even said that a health clinic isn't a real health center unless it provides abortion, which includes, of course, doesn't include pro-life pregnancy centers. And in a press release, the New York governor claims he is responding to repeated attacks on access to reproductive health care and says their new campaign will connect women to comprehensive, confidential, and medically accurate reproductive health care services. He claims that pro-life pregnancy centers are misrepresenting themselves as health clinics to dissuade those seeking abortion from going through with that choice. This new campaign going after pro-life pregnancy centers, spearheaded by New York's governor, will even include Subway ads and will be printed in multiple languages. And all of this is absolute nonsense. And it's attack on the pro-life movement, you know, to say that the crisis pregnancy centers misrepresent themselves in what they do, because no crisis pregnancy center advertises that they do abortion or that they will provide you with an abortion. It's very clear that that's not what crisis pregnancy centers do, but they are actually there to care for the mother and the child. And this is clearly meant to have a chilling effect on crisis pregnancy centers, and they're trying to use this campaign and the public advertising to push people away from these crisis pregnancy centers where they can get help and assistance in a number of areas, including giving birth to a child and raising that child, and they're pushing them towards abortion clinics. And so here you have Governor Cuomo saying that he refuses to let President Trump take us backwards. But then 2 weeks ago, he said, we're not going to make America great again. It was never that great. So apparently, we're not going to make America great. It was never great. And not going backwards means pushing women towards aborting their own children instead of helping direct them to health clinics that will love them and affirm them and protect both their health and the health of their baby. Crisis pregnancy centers do great work. They deserve to be supported and at the very least not targeted and attacked by governors. But that wasn't the worst thing I saw last week on the pro-life issue. Actually, in Oregon, I almost don't even know where to begin this one or whether to bring it up, but it's so egregious. And you know, conservatives and Republicans are always talked about in the media as the ones who are extreme on the issue of abortion and that they are obsessed with it and they always push it and they just have this obsession that they have to talk about abortion all the time and that's all they care about. Well, a pro-abortion organization known as NARAL, which is a national organization, they're very large, prominent pro-choice organization. They have teamed up in Oregon with an ice cream shop to create an abortion-themed flavor of ice cream known as Rocky Roe v. Wade. That's right. The folks over in Portland, Oregon can now be some of the first in the country to get their very own abortion-themed ice cream, courtesy of NARAL. For a limited time, customers at What's the Scoop can order a pint of Rocky Roe v. Wade for $9.50 to, quote, help defend reproductive freedom, according to NARAL Pro-Choice Oregon. And NARAL was promoting this on Twitter, and they got absolutely blasted and criticized, as they should. I mean, multiple people, in fact, had to sit down and come up with this idea and run it past other people, and they all said, yep, abortion-themed ice cream. That's what we need. That's what people want. When people think ice cream, gosh, nothing gets them excited to have some ice cream like an abortion-themed flavor. And I just found that appalling, like most people. I mean, you walk into an ice cream shop, oh, and there it is. You know, oh, good. Do you guys have an abortion-themed flavor? Oh, great. Rocky Roe v. Wade. Thank you. Just what I wanted when I went out for ice cream, an abortion-themed ice cream flavor. And so I found this quote, courtesy of Fox News, from Katherine Glenn Foster, who is the president and CEO of Americans United for Life. And this is what she told Fox News in response to this. She said, "It's truly appalling that any organization would trivialize abortion, which even Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy recognized as a weighty, life-changing decision that many women come to deeply regret, by turning it into a joke and tongue-in-cheek ice cream flavor. This kind of twisted humor diminishes the experiences of millions of women, and maybe why so many Americans are waking up to the reality of abortion, why we increasingly favor life-affirming law and policy, and it distorts the joyful and childlike qualities of ice cream and tries to corrupt a delicious frozen treat into a perverse political statement. Based on the public reactions on social media, that turns the stomach of Americans nationwide." And I agree. I think that is appalling, but, you know, that's all right. In Oregon, they can have their abortion-themed ice cream, and in New York, they can go after their pro-life pregnancy centers. But here in Nebraska, in that Nebraska Family Alliance, we're going to keep fighting to protect the dignity and life of every human person, including the unborn. That's what's happening in the world of pro-life and family news this week. And if you haven't heard, the Christian cake baker from Colorado, Jack Phillips, is being targeted again by the same Colorado Civil Rights Commission that just lost to Jack 7-2 at the United States Supreme Court for unlawfully targeting Jack because of his religious beliefs. But this time, Jack and his attorneys at Alliance Defending Freedom are fighting back. Amazingly, the state of Colorado, through their Civil Rights Commission, found probable cause that Jack Phillips once again violated the civil rights of someone who had been persistently trolling him with orders for extremely provocative and inappropriate cakes. And so they are coming after him once again, and this incident shows truly that Jack does not discriminate. He serves all customers. It's certain messages that he doesn't want to convey. Like any business owner, there are certain things you will and won't do. And it also sadly shows that the Colorado Civil Rights Commission is rejecting the rebuke that it just got from the Supreme Court in a 7-2 decision. They were very clear that you can't target someone or treat them differently because of their sincerely held religious beliefs. So religious freedom and free speech are once again on the line in this country, but we stood with Jack before when he went to the Supreme Court, and we're standing with him again, and you can too. You are invited to NFA's 30th anniversary gala on October 26th in Lincoln, and we will be joined by Jack Phillips. He will be our special guest. He will be there that night, and it'll be an honor to have him there and to show him that he is not alone in this, that there are people all across the country and here in Nebraska that are standing with him. And we want to make sure that you and your family know you are invited to NFA's 30th anniversary gala October 26th in Lincoln. All of the information and tickets are available at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. It's going to be an incredible evening. We're going to celebrate. It is a celebration. We are celebrating 30 years with Everyday Heroes, and we are celebrating family, freedom, and life. And we hope that you will be in there to join us. And from everyone at NFA, we thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you will join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.